dear God, and I pray that you would please fill me with your Holy Spirit, dear God, and I pray that the people that are here, dear God, would have ears to hear and open our eyes, dear God. I pray that we would be able to behold wondrous things out of thy law, and in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now the part of the chapter that I wanted to focus on is just that one verse in verse 25, where the Bible reads, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Now, I want to talk to you this morning about the subject of liberty, freedom. Of course, it's only fitting since this Friday is the anniversary of our nation's independence, the glorious day that it was, July 4th, 1776, over 200 years ago, when our nation became the free country that it is and was and hopefully shall be. Now, what is liberty? What is freedom? I'm going to show you a little bit from the Bible this morning about what freedom and liberty means and what it should mean to us in our lives. But turn, if you would, to Leviticus 25, and we're going to look at the first mention in the Bible of liberty. Leviticus 25:10. And while you're turning there, let me tell you this verse. 2 Corinthians 3:17 reads, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Did you hear that? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So the converse is also true. When the Spirit of the Lord departs, liberty departs. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And only there is liberty. Now, the Bible reads in Leviticus 25, "And ye shall hallow the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you." Watch him define what that liberty is. He says, "And ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family." Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You see, in Leviticus 25, God is saying that liberty and freedom is to have your own possessions that you own and to have your own family that's your family. You understand that? That's what part of liberty is, according to the Bible. That's the first time liberty is mentioned. Look at 1 Corinthians 7:39. We'll see another aspect of liberty. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7:39, "The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord." So liberty is having the right to make your own choice. Here he's saying this woman has liberty to choose who she wants to marry. Right? You don't have to turn there, but I'll read you another scripture that says the same thing. Numbers 36:6. "This is the thing which the Lord doth command concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, Let them marry to whom they think best. Only the family of the tribe of their fathers they shall marry." So God says there's a restriction. You know, you ought to marry, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, you ought not be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. You should marry somebody who's a believer. But outside of that, he says, marry whom you think best. Marry whom you will. I don't believe that it's right for the government to tell you who to marry. I don't believe it's right for your parents to tell you who to marry. Hey, the Bible says that liberty is making choices for yourself. That's what the Bible says. What is liberty? Having your own possessions, owning your own things. What's liberty? Having your own family that you're in charge of. What's liberty? Making your own choices. Look at Matthew 17, verse 24. We'll see what else liberty is. And we're just getting some Bible definitions. Very broad and sweeping term, liberty. So we're getting some Bible definitions about what God's idea of liberty is. Look at Matthew 17, 24. The Bible says, "And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, Doth not your master pay tribute?" Talking about taxes. Talking about the government's trying to extract money from it. It says, "He saith yes." "And when he was coming to the house," this is Matthew 17, 25, "Jesus prevented him, saying, What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, Of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, Then are the children free." Okay, so freedom is spending your own money the way that you want to spend your money and not having somebody extort money from you, okay? That's another definition of freedom. Here he's describing, of course, the Roman Empire. Guess what? The Roman Empire took over the whole world. Guess who didn't pay any taxes in the Roman Empire? The Romans, okay? The countries that they took over and enslaved, they paid the tribute, they paid the custom, the children were free. Now, turn to Judges chapter 3, and we're turning to a lot of scriptures early in the sermon, but I want you to see some of these things. Look at Judges chapter 3. You see, freedom is the most precious thing that a person can have that's breathing in this country. Freedom is the greatest thing in the world. See, I'd rather live in America and be free. I'd rather live in a free America and only have enough money to eat one or two meals a day. I'd rather live in a cardboard box and be free than to live in a palace and be in bondage and have somebody telling me what to do and who to marry and where to live and what I'm going to do with my life and where I can and can't go. Hey, there's something in man that wants to be free, and that freedom, that desire for freedom, comes from God's Spirit. It's something that God has placed in man, the desire to be free and not to be enslaved and in bondage. You see, enslavement and slavery is wicked, according to the Bible. And I'm not going to turn there, but Jeremiah 34, if you want to look it up, is a whole chapter about how God disdains a man putting another man into bondage and slavery. But if you would, look at Judges chapter 3. Where is it, how is it that people end up losing their freedom? Look at Judges 3:7. The Bible says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot the Lord their God, and served Balaam in the groves. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he," watch this, "sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. Look at Judges 4:1. Just right over the page. Excuse me. "And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor. The captain whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles." Look at Judges 6:1. "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Chapter 13, verse 1 of Judges. The Bible reads in Judges 13:1, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years." You see, the blessing for obedience to God's laws is freedom. The blessing for righteousness and holiness in your life is that you will gain freedom. And the curse of God upon disobedience to God's law and doing evil in the sight of the Lord is that you must needs go into bondage. And that's the way it's been all throughout the Bible, again and again. I just showed you some scripture from the book of Judges, but all throughout the Bible it's like that. Sin and wickedness and abomination in the sight of God brings bondage from God. That's what the Bible says. But look at John chapter 8. John chapter number 8. Chapter number 8, verse number 30. What else brings a lack of freedom or slavery and bondage in your life? That was more on the macro level, thinking about a nation. A nation goes into bondage because of wickedness and ungodliness. If you remember, there was a king named Asa in the Old Testament. I'll tell you about this while you turn to John 8. King Asa in the Old Testament, he had a preacher come to him and rebuke him and to preach right to his face what he was doing wrong. And King Asa became angry, and he had that man put in jail for preaching the truth to him. And it says at the same time, Asa began to oppress some of the people also. You see, sin and wickedness and a lack of respect for God and the preaching of God's word in the Bible leads to one man oppressing another and taking away his freedom. It's that way all throughout the Bible. But look at John chapter 8. There's another oppressor. There's another slave master. It says in John 8:30, "And as he spake these words, many believed on him." And by the way, people believing on Jesus Christ is always a result of hearing God's word. "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. But receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. The sower soweth the word, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." And so this is the pattern. They heard these words. Jesus spake these words. Many believed on him. Verse 31. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word," so he's saying you're already saved, but if you continue in his word, continue reading his word, and not just be a hearer of the word, but a doer also, he says, "then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." You see, there's another slave master in our lives besides just an oppressive government, whether foreign or domestic, that wants to take all our money away and tell us what we can and can't do and enslave us and take away our property. There's another slave master out there, and that slave master is sin. Sin will always put you into bondage and put you into slavery. Have you ever heard of a man being a slave to the bottle? A slave to the bottle. I mean, that liquid, that liquor is controlling his life. It's ruining his life. It's taking away his money. It's taking away his good judgment. The Bible says, "Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy mouth shall utter perverse things." And he says, "When shall I arise? I'll seek it yet again." And the Bible teaches that alcohol will enslave you. People don't just choose all the time, "Well, I think I'm not going to drink today." People who are drunks and alcoholics don't have that choice. They must drink today. They must have a Bloody Mary when they wake up in the morning. They must drink throughout the day until alcohol inflamed them, as the Bible says. You see, people who smoke, they don't decide each time they buy that cigarette. They don't decide each time, "Should I smoke right now or not?" They don't have that choice. They must smoke. I mean, why in the world would any sane person, think about this, why would any sane person make the choice, wake up in the morning and say, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to spend $5 or $6 or who knows how much they're charging for it now, but, you know, it's paying for all this daycare and everything, you know, it's smoking." What, didn't they add a couple bucks to pay for some daycare program or something a couple years ago, these smoking taxes or whatever? So, you know, you pay $6 for a pack of cigarettes. Why would you say, "I think I'm going to wake up this morning and pay $6 for something that's going to shorten my life, it's going to make me unhealthy, it's going to lower my quality of life, I don't even enjoy it anymore, you know, it's probably fun the first 200 times, it's getting a little old." Why? Because they're a slave. And that bondage will sap from their income $150 to $200 a month on smoking. Why? So that they can harm their body. That's bondage. It's slavery. Think about gambling. It enslaves people. I mean, people get addicted to gambling and they have to go back again and again. And you say, "Well, where in the Bible does it say that gambling is wrong? Where does it say gambling's wrong?" You know what? Go to Las Vegas, Nevada, the capital of gambling, and tell me when you see the results of gambling whether you think it's good or bad. When you see all the filth and the nudity and the gay prostitutes walking up and down the street, then you tell me whether gambling is right in the sight of God. But you see, sin has a way of enslaving you. It's the same thing with television, porno, same thing. You know, people don't choose to sit down and watch the TV. It's like a knee-jerk reaction. They just... Honestly. I mean, I've been in a hotel room with guys staying out of town, and they'll just turn it on like it, without even thinking about it. They'll have it on in the background. They're not even watching it. You know, it's just on all the time. All the time. And I'd like to ask anybody who says, "Well, I watch TV, but I'm not addicted to it." Okay, take a couple weeks and don't watch TV then. See if you can even do it. "I can quit any time." Yeah, that's what they all say, right? And TV is an addiction. It is honestly an addiction. I mean, drugs are addictive. And we live in a day where drugs are destroying America. You say, "What are you talking about? Cocaine? You're talking about heroin? Marijuana?" You know, that's the small part of the problem. You know what's really destroying America? Prescription drugs. Prescription drugs. You say, "Oh man, I don't agree with that." Then go ahead and destroy your life addicted to prescription drugs. I'm talking about prescription pain pills. I'm talking about the opiates and the barbiturates. I'm talking about the sleeping pills. I'm talking about the muscle relaxers, which are nothing more than antidepressants in a different bottle. It's the same chemicals. Do a little research, you'll find out about it. And the government and the pharmaceutical company want you to be addicted to drugs so you can be their slave. Because you're going to sit there and say, "Oh man, I can't lose my drug benefit because this stuff costs $800 a bottle. So I better vote for the people that are going to keep on giving me my drugs for free. Because I need all these drugs to live. I got to have all these pain pills. And I got to have all this and all that." And you say, "Oh, you're insensitive." No, I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you that the pharmaceutical company is nothing more than a legalized dope dealer. That's what I'm telling you. I'm telling you that the guy who's the CEO of Abbott Laboratories and all these other... What's that? What are the companies, Juza? Name them off to me. I put her on the spot. She froze up. These big pharmaceutical companies. What's that one that makes all the Merck? Yeah, there we go. Merck and Abbott. You know what the CEO of Merck should drive? A gold Cadillac Escalade with spinning rims. That's what he should drive. And he should, I hope he comes to work every day wearing a big gold chain around his neck. And I hope he wears baggy pants. And I hope he walks like this. Because all he is a stinking dope dealer. And God's going to judge and curse our nation because of drug use. It's right. It's the truth. The doctor doesn't want to help you. He wants to get you strung out on dope. And 99% of the time. Because the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, you cannot believe that, but you know what? Almost everybody I've ever talked to, anybody who's ever heard me preach that, has come to me afterward and said, you're right, because I know five people who are addicted right now to codeine. Then they're addicted right now to fentanyl. And they're addicted right now to morphine pills. And they're getting them on the black market. And they're selling them. And they're buying them. And hey, it's so common in America. It's way more common than the pot and the heroin and the cocaine. And it'll mess up your life just as much. Amen and amen. Whether you like it or not, that's the truth. And so sin is the great slave master that's always trying to put you in bondage and take away your freedom. And the Bible says, turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. You see, people think that sin will actually bring them freedom. And kids, you listen to this. Young people, teenagers, adolescents, listen to me right now. People think that sin will bring you freedom. That's what young people think. They think freedom equals get away from church, get away from the Bible, get away from the laws of God, and just go out and if it feels good, do it. They think that's freedom. That's what they think. Look what the Bible says, though. In 2 Peter 2:18, the Bible says, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, and this is talking about a false prophet. If you go to verse 1, you get the context. It says, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they're great public speakers, these false preachers. They allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who lived in error. He's saying they'll deceive people who are even saved. They're Christians. But these great orators will get up and with great swelling words, they'll allure them through the lusts of the flesh. They'll tell them to fulfill their lusts. It's okay to drink. It's okay to watch television. Somebody gave me a CD of a preacher and the preacher said, I was watching HBO last night and saw that he was using it as an illustration. I pushed eject. I took the CD out and I threw it out the window. I'm not going to listen to a false prophet. And so he says, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty. Listen to this, verse 19. While they promise them liberty. Hey, freedom, free love. If it feels good, do it. You'll be free. They themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. Do you see that? Sin will bring you into bondage. Sin is addictive. Sin will always take you further than you wanted to go. It'll always cost you more than you were willing to pay. And it will always keep you longer than you were willing to stay. That's the truth. I mean, nobody ever said, when I grow up, and I guess I'm borrowing an anti-drug slogan from the 1980s, but nobody says I want to be a junkie when I grow up. Remember that? Remember that ad? Nobody says, when I grow up, I want to be a junkie. When I grow up, I want to lay in the gutter in my own vomit and alcohol. When I grow up, I want to hang around at the adult bookstore all day. Nobody says that. When I grow up, I want to be a deadbeat. When I grow up, I want to live off the government. Nobody says that. But sin will become their slave master and enslave them, put them into bondage and say, it doesn't matter what you want to do with your life. This is what you're going to do with your life. You're going to be a drunk. You're going to be a drug addict. You're going to be relying on drugs. You're going to rely on alcohol. You're going to suck on a cigarette for the rest of your life like a baby sucks on a pacifier for comfort. You're going to suck on a cigarette for comfort. That's what sin will do to you. You say, man, are you mad at me? If I'm... No, hey, I love you. I'm trying to bring freedom. I'm trying to be like Moses. I'm trying to lead you out of Egypt, okay? I'm trying to lead you into the promised land. Hey, I'm trying to free you from the sin that's enslaving you. Hey, you don't know what it is to be free when you take your television and throw it out the stupid window and say, I'll not be brought under the power of any. Nobody's going to tell me what to think. Ted Koppel's not going to tell me what to think. Jay Leno's not going to tell me what to think. David Letterman's not going to tell me what to think. TV and Jerry Seinfeld is not going to tell me what to think. I'm going to think what I want to think. I'm going to believe what the Bible says. I'm not going to be brainwashed by the television. That's freedom. Freedom will be when you dump out the last liquor bottle and throw it out in the trash. Freedom will be when you smash up the last pack of cigarettes and say, you know what? I don't need this stuff. That's freedom. Freedom will be when you get off the prescription drugs and say, you know what? I'm not going to be a slave to the pharmaceutical company and line their pockets with tax dollars. That's freedom. I'm trying to liberate you. I'm like Rosa Parks up here. No, just kidding. Now turn to Mark chapter 10 and let's change gears. Mark chapter 10. And we'll change gears a little bit in the sermon. Let's do a quick review just so we see where the sermon was. We said, what is liberty? Hey, liberty is making choices for yourself. That's what liberty is, right? Making my own choice. Nobody tells me what to do. That's liberty. Now, wait a minute. Within liberty, and you say, wait a minute, Pastor Anderson, are you for anarchy? Are you an anarchist? Yes. No, no, I'm not. Okay. You say, are you preaching anarchy? I'm not preaching anarchy. You can have archy without slavery. Okay. Now listen, I'm not preaching anarchy. There are legitimate forms of authority set up in the Bible. Now the first thing we read was, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Now the Bible is known as the perfect law of liberty. That's what God calls the Bible. Now the Bible defines correct, righteous authority. Now, do I believe in authority? Yes. The Bible says that a wicked man despises government in general. Okay, government is not bad. Okay, authority is not bad. Authority is good. Authority is necessary. But it has to be the authority that God ordains. For example, did I have you turn to Mark chapter 10? Okay, stay there. For example, God has set up authority. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay, so should children have total freedom from the rule of their parents? No. The perfect law of liberty says that parents are to obey their children. Period. That's great. That's fine. Okay, did you know that servants... Did I say something wrong? Yeah. Children obey their parents. You know what I meant. You sure you didn't just hear me wrong? All right. Children should obey their parents. All right? Let me show you it again. Children obey their parents. Okay? Now, God has also ordained... Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. So you have an employee, they must obey the boss at work according to God. Or get a different job. But if you're working on a job, you obey that boss. Okay? We're to obey the powers that be. As much as is possible, we're to live at peace with all men, the Bible says. And the powers that be, the ordinance of man, we're supposed to obey the laws of the land. I'm not preaching anarchy. We should obey the laws of the land, the government that is in charge over us, the United States government, we should be obeying, unless it conflicts with the higher power, which is God. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Okay? So if there's not a conflict, we obey the government, we obey our parents, when we're children, that is. It doesn't say everybody obey your parents, it says children obey your parents. And then, of course, those who are under the yoke, let them count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And so we're to obey authority in our lives, proper biblical authority. But, it's not right for one person to enslave another man that is not their employee and that is not their child. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Now look, when a child grows up, that's where they've earned freedom. Because the Bible says in Galatians 4, and we don't have time to go there, but it talks about how, you know, when a child's growing up, he differs nothing from the servant. He's got to do what he's told. He's under tutors and governors. He's got to be told what to do. But when he becomes a man, he's on his own. And now he's free. Okay? So that's what we're talking about here. Look, if you would, at Mark chapter 10, and we're gonna get into another phase of the sermon here. So we saw that. We saw, of course, the freedom, making your own choices, having your own things that you own, and having your own family that you run, and spending your own money, you know, on what you want to spend it on. Okay, that's what freedom means. Lack of freedom results from God's judgment. Lack of freedom also results from a sinful life that will bring you into bondage. But now, look, if you would, at Mark chapter 10. The Bible reads in Mark 10:42, "But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them, but so shall it not be among you." Do you see that? "But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister." Minister means servant. "And whosoever of you will be the chiefest." All right, Brother Chris, you want to be the chief? Like last night you were preaching? Okay. "Whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto." He said, I didn't come to be served, but to minister. "And to give his life a ransom for many." Now turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. You see, God says out in the world, people have this burning desire to lord over other people, don't they? I mean, governments get out of control. They get oppressive. What's our nation's independence all about? It's about one island 3,000 miles away trying to rule over and oppress a continent and trying to milk them financially and tell them what they can and can't do and take away their freedom. That's what it was about. And it's human nature. People want to rule over other people. People are not satisfied to just have their own wealth and their own, mind their own business, do their own thing, their own vine and their own fig tree, their own family. There's something wicked about mankind where he wants to lord over and oppress and rule over and exercise authority over other man that's not under his realm of authority. Right? I mean, it's human nature, isn't it? We see it all the time. Have you ever known people who just try to run everybody else's life? You ever known people like that? I mean, they just want to get in everybody's business and tell them what to do and try to run everybody else's life. Sometimes you see parents, you know, and they're trying to run the life of their 35-year-old son who's married with, you know, several children. Okay? And they're trying to run everybody's life. There's something wicked inside of us that wants us to put other people under our control. Okay? The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, is that where I had you turn? 1 Peter chapter 5, this is talking about pastors. And Jesus was talking to his disciples. He said, you know, that's the way they are out in the world. It's not supposed to be that way among you. This is not the way it is in the church, in Christianity. And look down if you would. The Bible says, the elders which are among you I exhort. And he's talking about the pastor, the bishop. I could prove that to you in another sermon where he used those words interchangeably in the same passage. It says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint. He said, not because you have to, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre. He said, don't be in it for the money, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over. Okay, remember he said about people exercising lordship over somebody else? He said, not among you. He says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Now, the Bible teaches about the bishop, the elder, the pastor, which is what I am of this church. I'm the pastor of this church. The Bible teaches in 1 Timothy 3, don't turn there, he says, one that ruleth well his own house, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity, for if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Okay, are you getting this? The Bible says in Genesis 3:16, a verse that, you know, John 3:16 is the most famous verse in the whole Bible? This is the least famous verse in the whole Bible. It's really interesting. Because John 3:16 is the most quoted and famous verse. Genesis 3:16 is the verse that's never quoted. It's like it doesn't even exist. Okay? And this is what it says, because you might have never even heard it before. Okay? It says, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. What? Yeah, I told you it's not a very common verse, okay? And so the Bible says that a man is to rule over his wife and children, okay? And obviously he's to do it in love and to give himself for his wife and to be thoughtful and so forth. But does a man have authority in his home? Yes, he does. Are wives to obey their husbands? Yes, they are. Are children to obey dad and mom? Yes, they are. Okay. But do you have to obey the pastor? Now look, I'm sorry if this makes you somebody mad or whatever. This is the truth of the Bible. Okay? If I tell you something to do that's not in the Bible, I tell you this is what you're going to do. Do you have to do it according to the Bible? No. And you know what? You can say, oh man, I can't believe you're tearing down pastoral authority. Hey, anybody who goes to this church knows that when it comes to the church, the congregation, the service, hey, I run this church like a dictator. Have we ever voted on anything? No. Who's been here the longest? Amanda. Have we ever voted on anything? No. I'm not trying to tear down pastoral authority. I'm just trying to show you where pastoral authority lies in the church. Okay? This is what we're missing. Pastoral authority lies in the church. That means, if somebody says, hey, let's sing this song. No. It's worldly. Okay? Hey, has anybody ever heard me say that? Yeah. Or, hey, let's have so-and-so come preach. No! You know what I mean? Hey, let's use the NIV. No! Hey, instead of soul winning, let's just pass out tracts. No! Okay. So, look, I'm not saying that the pastor doesn't have any authority. The Bible says that the elders that rule well, let count them worthy of double honor. But does the elder have the rule over your house? No. Does the pastor have the rule over your family? No. Does the pastor have the rule over your personal life? No. You see, my job is to run the assembly, the church, the congregation. Somebody's got to be here as the overseer, as the bishop that stands guard and says, no worldly music, no liberalism, no formalism, no this, no that, because, and we're not going to vote on it. That's just the way it is. Like it or lump it. But you see, pastors many times abuse their power in the gospel, is what the Bible says. That's what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul said, I want to make the gospel without charge. And you know, study that word charge. It's talking about charging money, you know, is what it's talking about in that particular instance. But he said, I just don't want to abuse my power in the gospel. Now, if Jesus said this, it's not going to be so among you. If Jesus took the time to tell us, don't be lords over God's heritage, be an example to the flock, then there must be a tendency for a man who's a pastor to become a slave master and to become a ruler over people's individual lives, or else God wouldn't be preaching this to us in a couple different places, telling us what the pastor's role is. You see, many people will abuse their power in the gospel and stand up and say that we are going to have, these are the rules here, and you got to follow our rules. Now listen to me. And this ties in greatly with our subject of liberty. Faithful Word Baptist Church, the Spirit of the Lord is here, and liberty is here. We don't have rule, we don't have a dress code. Never have and never will. But look around, you know. Everybody dressed horrible, aren't they? No, because you know, when people have freedom, you know, they dress right. You know what I'm saying? Because you know what makes you free? The truth makes you free. And I'm going to tell you what's happening in churches all over America right now, and I'll tell you why the pulpit is not the way it needs to be. Because all over America, churches have substituted preaching for rules. Yes, they have. Yes, they have. They have a rule. And I mean, I've been in a lot of churches. I remember, let me give you an example. I went to a church. They had a rule that anybody who was a Sunday school teacher or worked in any ministry or did anything, you must go soul winning 1 hour per week. So you know what everybody in the whole church did without exception? They went soul winning for only 1 hour a week. I mean, that was in that category. Nobody went for an hour and a half. Nobody went for 2 hours. Nobody went for 3 hours. Nobody went for 4 hours. Let me give you another illustration. Think about this. Just think this through. Think about what freedom is. Think about what liberty is. Okay. When I go to Poncho's restaurant, I'm preaching against Poncho's this morning. I like Poncho's, but it's on Central Avenue. Okay. And this message is brought to you by Poncho's. But anyway, on Poncho's on Central Avenue, when you have a party of six or more, i.e. my family, okay, then they automatically put the tip on. Anybody ever been to a restaurant where they do that? And what do they put on? 15%. Now, I'm a high roller. You know, normally, when I go out to a restaurant, I throw down 20-25%. You know, depending on how good the service is. Is that true, honey? I mean, I throw down 20% if it's even okay. You know, I like to be a blessing to them and do unto others as I would have them to do unto me. And so I give them a good tip. But you know what? When I see that 15% is already on there, it makes me mad. And you know what I do? I say, well, that's all you're going to get then, 15%. If you're going to make me give you 15%, then go ahead and take your 15%. But you know what? If they would have just given me the liberty and the freedom to say, you know what? We're going to serve you and give us what you think is right. Okay? That's where they would have got the real dough, because I would have given them 20-25%. It's the same thing with Jesus in the parable, where he goes out at the first hour and he hires the laborers for the day. He goes out at the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour, and the 11th hour. At the beginning of the day, he agreed with the laborers. He bargained with them how much they would work for, and they agreed upon a penny a day. They said, we got to know what we're getting paid. How about one penny? He said, deal. Let's go. And a penny was worth a little more back then. Inflation's out of control. I mean, I'm telling you. I mean, good night. Look what a penny used to be worth. But anyway, at the end of the day, at the 11th hour, he walks up and he says, hey, why are you still idle? Why are you standing here idle? And he said, come also to the field and work, and I'll give you what's right. And they said, okay, we trust you. And they got a penny for working 1 hour. A penny an hour versus a penny a day. Why? Because the master had freedom to pay them what he wanted to pay them. You see what I'm saying? And so you give people freedom. They want to do what's right. They understand why they need to do what's right. That's what's wrong with these churches and these colleges and school. They have all these rules, and they can get people to conform to the rules. They can get people to follow the rules. I mean, the rule says it, they have to do it, but they do it with a bad attitude because they don't want to do it, because somebody's making them do it, because man wants to be free. You know what that pastor ought to be doing is teaching people why they should dress right, why they should live right. But I went to a church for 3 years where they had a rule that if the kids went out to pizza, you know, the girls had to be wearing skirts that were a certain length and shirts that were a certain way and everything like that. I mean, if you went out to the roller skating rink, if you went out to pizza, I mean, if you went anywhere, anything that had anything to do with church, there was rules about the way that you dressed. But at the same church that I went to for 3 years, I never heard a sermon that preached and taught why women should dress the way that they should dress. Why it's wrong for women to dress like a man and wear pants like a man when the Bible says that a woman should not put on that which pertaineth to a man. And a man should not put on a woman's garment. They didn't teach that from the Bible. They didn't teach on men having short hair from the Bible in 1 Corinthians 11 that it's a shame for a man to have long hair, because they had a rule about it. And what happens when you have rules instead of the truth? When you have slavery instead of the truth, when you have bondage instead of truth, you have people who will conform. As soon as they turn 18, they're just going to go do whatever they want anyway, because they want freedom. But if you can teach somebody why, Jesus said, look, if you love me, keep my commandments. He didn't say, you must keep my commandments or you will burn in hell. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And you know what? I love God. I'm going to keep his commandments. I mean, think about this. When I was in Bible college, they had a rule telling how short my hair needed to be as an adult man. Okay? Do you think I needed that rule? Look at my hair right now. Did I need that rule? Okay, they had a rule telling me I couldn't go to the movie theater. I didn't even have a television. Do you think I needed that rule? No. They had a rule that said, you know, you can't do this. It's like, look, I was living above the rules because I loved God, because I understood the truth from the Bible. And so the pastor's job is to preach the word. It's to teach and to feed the flock and to be an example to the flock and to preach the truth to the flock. Not to just set up a system of rules and say, you must follow these rules to come to this church or to come to this activity or do this or do that. Well, you got to have standards. You better know we have standards. But you know what? They're standards that I live by and that I only enforce in my own house. And I'll preach them to you. And if you want to come here and listen to me preach and listen to it taught and do what you want to do, you go out of here. Listen to me. You go out of here. Go buy cigarettes. Go buy booze. Go dress like a hoochie mama and a hooker. You know, I don't care. Go ahead. You know, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that's filthy, let him be filthy still. He that's righteous, let him be righteous still. He that's holy, let him be holy still. But if you can come here and listen to God's word preached, telling you to be holy and clean and righteous and decent, and you want to go out and do it, then you go out and do what you want to do. Because I'm not going to lord over you and control you. I'm not your dad. I'm not Papa. You know, there's a religion out there that does exercise lordship over people, and they call the pastor Father. They think he's their dad or something. You know, I'm not your dad. Oh, Dad, what should I do? Go make your own decision. Read your own Bible. You got the same Holy Spirit inside living. I'm not going to mollycoddle you. I'm not going to hold your hand. Someday you're not going to have Pastor Anderson to be your poppy and your daddy and papa. And Daddy, what do I do? What's the Bible say to do? Not going to be some kind of a... You know, it's like when they came to Jesus. And they said, hey, make my brother divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus said, man, who made me a judge and a divider over you? That's what he said. He said, I'm a preacher of righteousness. I teach the truth. I preach the truth. I'm not your dad. I'm not the government. But you know, many churches you go to, you'll go there, they got rules about everything. But they don't preach what needs to be preached. They tone down the preach. They get up and preach sweetness and light every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Hey, that rhymes. But they get up and preach sweetness and light and love, love, love. But then they're going to hand you a sheet and say, sign this. This is what you're willing to abide by. You won't go to the movies. You won't drink. You won't smoke. Hey, some of the best soul winners in this church have been smokers. It's the truth. Okay? Oh, you can't. You got to sign this paper that you're not going to do this, not do this. You know what? You don't have to sign anything to be part of this church. Because we believe in freedom. And you know what? You ask yourself why our government is putting us in bondage right now. You ask yourself why the government wants to run every area of our life. You ask yourself why there's cameras being installed all over Tempe. Right now, they're just putting on more cameras everywhere. They're putting on more police, driving up and down the street, walking up the street, telling you what to do, going around, checkpoints, stopping you in your car, which way are you going, where are you coming from, what are you doing, rules. We're going to tell you what you can do. We're going to tell you what you can't do. We're going to run your life. You know why? And one day they're going to want to tell me what to preach and what I can't preach. You say, why? Because if you can go to the house of God and find bondage, are you surprised when you find bondage in the world? I mean, if you can find pastors and preachers that are using coercion to get people to do what's right, that are using rules and coercion and forcing people to go soul winning and forcing people to do this and forcing people to do that, you wonder why you find it in the world? Hey, if it's in God's house, you know it's going to be in the world 10 times worse. Hey, I, for one, believe in freedom. I don't want to run your life. I don't want to tell you where to live or where to go or what to do. Hey, I'm a preacher. I'm a prophet. But I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm going to tell you what God says. And you can take it and you can believe on it or you can go do whatever you want with your life and nobody's going to force you to do anything in this church ever. Coercion, bondage, slavery, it's wrong. It's a sin. I'm against it. And you know what it produces? Weak Christians. You know, me, I remember I was in that church. They said, you got to go soul winning 1 hour a week. You know what? Me and my friend Roger Jimenez went soul winning 4 hours every week. Because we had to. It's because we wanted to. When I was in Bible college, they said 1 hour a week of soul winning is what you must do. And so these guys would go out bus calling and handing out flyers and eating tacos all day. And they would say, they would literally say, oh man, we got to get that 1 hour of soul winning in. Oh, I worked in my ministry for 12 hours yesterday. And they went soul winning for 1 hour. Okay? You know what? We, in my ministry when I was in Bible college, we did nothing but soul winning. That's all we did. That's all we did for hours. Okay? Why? Because the rule said so? No, because rules are weak. A heart that loves God is what's going to get the job done.
That's right.
It's not some rule that you follow. Nobody's going to make you serve God. You go to some church or some school that has some rule that's going to make you a good Christian. You know what's going to make you a good Christian? When your heart is right with God. You know what's going to make you a good Christian? When you know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Another friend of mine told me this. He said, you won't take a stand until you understand. I mean, you're not going to die for something that you don't even understand. Well, our church has this rule. You know what I mean? Well, that's what the pastor said. You going to stand up for that? You going to die for that? No. But when you understand it in your heart, you're going to say, you know, I'm going to stand up for this. This is what the Bible said. This is what God said. It's the truth. Man, when I sing those songs that we sang today about freedom and liberty, you know, man, my heart is stirred because I love freedom. I love liberty. The thing that I cherish the most about my life is the choices that I get to make in my life. And I love the fact that God allows me to choose to serve Him and to love Him. I love the fact that I'm not constrained to be the pastor. Nobody's making me be the pastor. Hey, I'm doing this because I want to. I love it. I love it. You know why I'm going to go soul winning this afternoon? Because I have to. I want to. Man, I want to go soul. I'm excited about going soul winning.
Amen.
I want to get somebody saved. Hey, I want to find somebody and get them saved. That's the greatest thing in the world to me. I can't wait to find somebody and look at them and they're not saved. Preach them the gospel and watch them get saved. Hey, that's what I want to do this afternoon. I don't want to go to the lake today. Another day I might want to go to the lake. But I, you know, I don't want to go out and party. I want to go soul winning. You know where I'm going to be tonight? Church. You know why? Because I want to be in church. That's why. Say, oh, do we have to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Nope. In fact, you don't even have to go Sunday morning. You don't even have to go to church at all. But you know what? I want to go to, I'm going to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night because I want to be here. You understand what I'm saying? That's the difference between grace and the law. Okay? And the Bible says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. He says, look, you have the liberty to do what you want to do. Now let me admonish you. Don't use it for wrong. Use it for right. But it's still your choice. God gave you free will whether to get saved or not. God gave you free will whether you're going to come to church or not. God gives you free will whether you're going to go to Walmart after service, buy a gun, and shoot somebody. I mean, is God going to stop you? I mean, if I got in my car and went to Walmart and bought a gun and took and killed somebody, you think God's going to stop me? Nope. But you know what? I'm not going to use my liberty to go to some dirty movie house or adult bookstore. I'm going to use my liberty to serve somebody else. I'm going to use my liberty to do what's right. Don't get caught up in this trap where you think it's all about coercion and controlling other people. Hey, our government is like that. That's the way the Gentiles are like that. But it shall not be so among us. And you know what? I'm going to fight as long as I can in this country to help preserve the freedom of this country. Whatever I can do, I'm going to do it. But I'll dead sure say that Faithful Word Baptist Church is a place of freedom where nobody's ever going to be coerced or told what to do. We will never have a rule demanding soul winning, demanding tithes, demanding offerings, demanding a dress code. Never. Why? Because we don't need it. That's why. Because we have preaching. We have the Bible. We have the truth. We have the Spirit of the Lord. We don't need all this coercive tactics. Okay? But when you kick God out, you got to have rules. I just heard a quote from Winston Churchill. He said, you know what? He said, go ahead and vote for the... In 1945, he said, you know what? Go ahead and vote in the Socialist Party. If you want to be lazy and have the government take care of you, he said, go ahead and vote for the socialists. But he said, you know what? Socialism and this wicked government, he said, it's going to require police forces to enforce it and to tell you what to do and to control your life. And if you want your life to be controlled, then be a socialist and a communist, he said. And it's the truth. Because when you kick out God, and when you kick out the truth, and when you kick out what's right, you end up being a slave. And you know what? Your goal in life, the Bible says, if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. You'd rather be free than a slave, God says. Be free. Live free. I like the slogan that I saw. I was in New Hampshire the other day. Every license plate in New Hampshire says, live free or die. That's the state motto of New Hampshire. You know what? I want to be free. I want to live free. I thank God for freedom in this country. I thank God for the men who died to give us freedom. And you know what? This church is free. Let's bow our heads in that word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the Bible and the truth that makes us free. I'm so glad I don't need somebody standing over me telling me to live for God all the time, because you know what? I love you and I want to choose to live for you, dear God. And I pray that everybody that's in here would use the glorious liberty of the children of God that you've given us, not as an occasion to the flesh, not as an excuse to commit sin and to do wrong, but God, I pray that everybody who's here would use liberty to say, I'm not going to wear the clothing that's just within the rules of the church, because the church has no rules. I'm going to wear the clothing that is right before God. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to go soul winning as much as I can, not what the rule demands. Father, please help us to use our freedom and our liberty to give you everything that we have, to give you 100%. Not to be a Pharisee who says, I'm going to do the minimum that the rule allows. But God, help us to say, I'm going to give it all to God. I'm going to be the best I can be. I'm going to dress the best I can dress. I'm going to live the best I can live. I can be the best I'm going to be. And we love you, and please give us the grace to do it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, let's go ahead and sing one.